Aren't you thankful that you can rest on something that doesn't change? Something that won't give way? And irregardless as to how it's questioned, how it's attacked, how it is doubted, still the same. Still works the same. Sometimes you and I need to endeavor to work a little harder to apply it so it does work the same. I think about when I was in college and we were taking chemistry in the lab, the graduate assistant told us that all of these experiments that we were to do had already been tried. Everybody ought to get the same answer. And if you don't get the same answer, you have done something wrong. And you know, he was right. And God's word is just like that. It has been proven. It has been tried. And it still works. And when we don't get the results that we think we ought to get, it's not the word. It's us. We want to talk a little bit this morning about great men. We have had a history in this country of men who are rightfully revered for doing what they did that this country might be founded and established in the way that it is. And in consideration of them and others who maybe haven't been so highly revered, there are some things that are common to each one of them. We might call them a common denominator. One of those things, and there are several of them, is that they had a vision. Another item was that they had a realization. A realization that I may not get to see what I do see. I may not get to experience it. But I have seen the promised land. And therefore, I will do that which is appropriate, which is necessary, that if I don't get there, those who follow after me will. With that then came a commitment. And so these men and others as well laid down their lives for an idea. Took great risk. And they came to realize that in all of this, they weren't just put upon this earth to find themselves a place just so they could be happy. We live in a world today where they say, don't worry, be happy. And we find that others are seeking for happiness. Yeah. Some seek it in others. Yeah. I'm going to marry so-and-so. And if he don't make me happy, I'm going to go find me somebody else that will. Yeah. I'm going to marry this one over here. And if she don't make me happy, I'll go find me somebody who understands me. But yet you consider that attitude that permeates our society today. And then think about the pilgrims. When they came over here looking for a place at least where they felt they could worship the Lord in freedom. Can you imagine them having gotten over here? Maybe a husband and wife, some children, sitting in their little hut or tent or whatever it might have been. And the husband tell the wife, I'm not happy. I don't feel like going out hunting for no food. I don't feel like clearing off no land to raise any kind of crop. I'm just not happy. Well, they wouldn't have gotten very far, would they? And in that kind of a setting, the poor wife probably would have had to find some kind of means to lighten the fire up under him to get out and go do what she knew he needed to do, lest they all die and not survive. We live in a world today where that's the kind of attitude that goes forth. I'm not happy. I'm not satisfied. Therefore, I'm not going to do. I'm not committed because what I see is only right in front of me, and all I want to know is what can I get out of it for me. And if there's nothing in it for me, I don't want to be bothered. I'm not going to commit to it. Someone say, but look way out in the horizon. Look at what this could become. Look at what could be left to your children. That's not today. That's way out in the future somewhere. I don't want that. But you know, these kind of people didn't have that kind of a short-sighted vision. Those who wrote the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, John Hancock, and so many others, had their sights set on something. And as a result, they took some steps to gain that. I'm sure that when they went home and told their wives that I just signed my name to the Declaration of Independence, it's going to be sent back to England and tell them, we're not going to be tied to you anymore. Those people, their wives no doubt asked them, are you sure you understand what you're doing? Don't you recognize that when they send their British troops over here, that we'll be some of the first ones they'll be looking for? Yes, I understand that, wife. I also understand that our house would probably be one of the first ones burned down. And our lives will probably be some of the first ones taken. But with that in mind, yet seeing what they saw out in the horizon, they took the risk, they made the commitment, and they went forward. Amen. The Lord is still looking for great people. Maybe we won't be revered or held or esteemed as others. Maybe someone won't know anything about us other than there was one of the pilgrims. But you and I are going to have to consider, what are we here for? Are we just here to try to find us a place of happiness, joy, and contentment, and we go on our way? Well, I'll let you decide. But let's consider some others who the Lord called, and let's see what they did. Amen. Genesis, the 12th chapter, starting with the first verse. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now this man was called out of his own country. The Lord wanted him to leave all his people, leave the place where he had grown up, and leave his possessions as far as the amenities that they had around there at that time in that area. And some of the writers point out that Abram wasn't just leaving a tent city. They're in a place where they had homes, homes for their servants. Their children learned reading, math, various other things. So, you know, they weren't in a lot of ways unlike us today. But he calls for him to go. And we see here that Abram had to see something, had to have some kind of vision, some kind of realization to make a commitment. Because you won't get commitment without that as you go along the way. And so we want to turn likewise to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and see what it had to say about him as well. The 8th verse, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now I'm sure that Abraham, when he left there, he told his people, no doubt, that he was leaving. Some of them probably questioned him, Abram, where are you going? And all he could tell them was, I don't know, but I'm going. Abram, why are you going? Because God called me out to go. But these people had turned back and were worshiping idols, so no doubt they questioned him, what God are you talking about, Abram? Well, it's the God that spoke to me, and I can't explain it all, but I'm going. You and I, as we go down through this pathway of life, we cannot always understand everything there is to understand about why we do what we do. But when he gives the call to go, it's time to go. When he tells us that he wants us to go forth, and here we find that it said here he went out not knowing whether he went. God told him, I will send you to a land that I show thee. Didn't even tell him at that point, it's a land I'm going to give to you. Here's a place out here. I'm showing it to you. I want you to go on out there, and that's where I want you to be. Yeah. And then, when he got there, somehow he couldn't just settle down totally in that place. Because here it says that he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. In other words, he wasn't just looking to settle down in the place that had seemed to have been promised unto him, but he had something that looked far out beyond that even. And so it said he was looking for a city, as the songwriter said, a city built above. You know, as we go down through this pathway of life, there are those times when we might look to God to help us out, and maybe he's given us some promise that we can latch on to. But you know, if we're not careful, when we get that promise, we want to sit down right there and say, now I'm in the place where he wants me to be, and I've got all that I need to have, instead of looking far out beyond and recognizing there's still yet something out there further yet for me to see, and in my committing myself to that, I'm then going to lay some groundwork here that will help somebody else coming on behind me that they might see out there as well. In this day and time, too many people are looking at the right now, and they don't go any further. You know, I've heard people, especially talking about finances, young people come up. I heard somebody say one time, if I marry somebody, they're going to have to do this and that and the other. They're going to have to at least start off as good as my parents are living right now, or I'm not going. They're going to have to be able to do this, or else they can't talk to me. But you know, what are you looking for? As you go through this life, are you really just looking for somebody to make you happy? How many things have you seen in this world that people look upon and marvel? Have you seen those things started and completed with that kind of an attitude? I dare say that you won't find it. You and I, as we go through this life, not to say that the Lord doesn't want us to be happy, but that is not the ultimate end-all and be-all. You see, when we do those things that we are committed to, we'll find happiness in doing what he has for us to do. But if we go looking for happiness, we're going to miss it, because we end up searching in all the wrong places for something that God has designed or has decreed and worked out that here's the way you obtain it. If you follow this way, all of these things will be provided. But if you make that your end all and be all, you're going to be disappointed and disgruntled as you go through life. Here we find someone, and we look back upon Abraham now, and I dare say that you could find no one who know something about Abraham would not consider him to be a great man. But you see, there were some things about him that you and I need to have as well. And when we have those things, we can ascend to some of those same planes that these patriarchs ascended to as we go along the way. He had a vision. He had some realizations. He knew what he was doing. But he had some commitment as he went along the way. We turn to Deuteronomy, the 34th chapter, starting with the first verse. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea. And the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, and the city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. Well, we know the story. Moses made some choices. And I have to wonder if he ever questioned himself and wondered, why did I make this kind of choice? I got out here and I'm dealing with all of these hard-necked, stiff-necked people. And look at what they've caused me as far as the trouble I've encountered. But nevertheless, we go back to Hebrews 11th chapter. Starting with the 23rd verse, we find something here about Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward.
Yeah. Amen.
Moses made a choice. He could have stayed in the palace and been Pharaoh's son. He could have stayed in line and no doubt ascended to the throne of Egypt and had people waiting upon him hand and foot. But when it came to that fork in the road, wherever it was, he decided to go with God's people, to suffer afflictions with them rather than enjoy all the amenities that he might have found there in Egypt. And then after leading them out there, getting them out from under the hand of Pharaoh, what did those people say unto him except, why did you bring us out here? Did you just bring us out here to die? Don't you see them coming there? They're coming after us. Well, he told them there, stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. And they saw it. And then they went on out in the wilderness and they said, we wished you'd have left us there, where we had cucumbers and leeks and melons and all of these things. And he went unto the Lord and the Lord provided for him. Then they told him, we got to have some water. And they just about got to him then, didn't they? He said, drink ye rebels, and struck that rock twice. Now he's not going to get to go over. That's why I say I have to wonder if he ever thought, why did I make the choice that I made? But see, he saw something. Now he didn't get to go over. He got to see it. I suspect he probably wished, even at that point, I sure wish I could go. But I can't. And the Lord had told him after he had done what he'd done, you're not going. You know, he could have given up right there. I done took you people as far as I can take you. And y'all done caused me to miss out. Ain't that the way we talk? You caused me. See what you made me do? And so we just say, see what you caused me to do. I'm going to miss out on the kind of you. He could have done like that. But no. He stayed with them. He encouraged them. He challenged them. He did all he could to work with them, even after that. And then when he saw it, God told him, this is what I swore to Abraham. Abraham was dead and gone. This is what I swore to Isaac. Isaac was dead and gone. This is what I swore to Jacob. He's not here. You know, sometimes our commitment is real short-sighted. I heard someone once say, and you're probably going to hear me touch on this in various ways, but I heard someone once say, in reference to building a church, we didn't build ours. You young people going to have to build yours. Well, I wished I'd have known then what I know now. I have been told that I'm kind of a rebel, but I'd have spoke up and told them, you better go back and look. Because if Moses and them had said what you're saying, you wouldn't have had a chance to build yours. You see, it goes way on beyond what's right here now. Some say, well, I don't want to give because I don't see nothing happening. You're not supposed to see what's happening. You're supposed to see way out yonder there that I see that over there, and the way to get there from this point to that point is to do something to lay some groundwork, so I'm going to do what I can. I may not get there, but somebody else can if I do my part. And you know, when you look at this, sometimes I kind of consider it as a bridge that has been built and is still yet being built. Moses and Abram and those people started out, and I see that just as a little bit of that bridge crossing the great divide. Then some others came along after them, and they added a little more. Somebody else came on after them, and they added a little more. Martin Luther and some others came along, and the martyrs, and they added a little more. Now, what are you and I going to do? And then, if you can see it this way, when it is all said and done, judgment takes place, and God calls this world into judgment. But you and I, if we're not careful, we want to feel like we've done something. And now I can sit down. And you know, young people have a little different viewpoint. And mine was different too. Because when I looked at what they said they built, I thought, not too great. Somebody quit too soon. So you know, as we consider it that, let us take a look. We need to have something that looks way out beyond. We need to have something that looks beyond what I'm dealing with right now. Some say, well, this ain't working. Look way out there. Look way out there. And then consider, what must I do that it work? You and I, as we go along this pathway of life, had these people had the same attitude that we see nowadays, where would we be? We'd be in a whole heap of trouble. We must have a different outlook. Consider somebody else. See, it said there that Moses was looking forward. Looking forward. Now, look forward, usually when a person does that, they're thinking about, where is this going to go? And am I going in the right direction? Then they decide, if I'm not, I need to make some adjustments. If I am, it's full speed ahead. Consider someone else. In Ruth, the first chapter, you've heard this before. Starting with the 12th verse, Naomi is pleading with her daughters-in-law, and she says, turn again, my daughters, go your way. For I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. I'm not sure what Ruth saw, but I am persuaded that she saw something in her mother-in-law, something in her father-in-law, and something in her late husband. And in doing so, she began to make some choices. Her mother-in-law told her, if I got married today and bore a son, would you wait that long for them to grow up to where you could marry them again? Well, no. So she's saying, go back. Find someone that you can live with and have a life. Do the things that you've always desired to do. Oprah went on back. And she told Ruth, do like your sister-in-law. But Ruth had realized something. And so she told her, don't talk to me about that anymore. I've made a decision. I've made a choice. I'm going where you go. I'm going to serve whom you serve. I'm going to be with your people because they're my people. Now, she didn't have no promises. She didn't have a promise that anybody there, once she got there, would accept her. She didn't have any guarantee that when she got there, things would work out and all be well. She didn't have any of that. And in fact, when you consider the way that the Jews dealt with foreign people a lot of times, about all she really had that she might have could have considered a promise was that she might. Now, I don't know what she learned later on, but you see this woman who came out of the Moabites, people who worshipped idol gods, she came and because of her commitment was inserted in the lineage of Christ, coming right down through her bloodline, she being a part of that, and I don't know that she ever knew that that would take place. But it happened. And we can look upon this passage, and we all look upon Ruth, I'm sure, with a great deal of respect. Yeah. She had something that was to be respected, and still is to be respected in this day and time. But I have a feeling that when she did that, she didn't think she was doing anything great. She didn't think she was doing something that was going to be left behind for all people to look at and marvel. We have people in the world today who want to be president because they want to leave their mark on the world and they want to be written down in history to where when they're dead and gone, others can read about them and what they did. Well, in man's eye, that's something great. In God's eye, I'm not so sure that that's all that great. Nevertheless, we find throughout His Word that those who saw something, realized, paid the price, and committed themselves, now they are great. This woman, to me, she was great. But you know there was another one there who helped the spies when they came through? She came to be a part of that lineage. You look at some others, and when you begin to look at his lineage, it covered a lot of people, and some of them, their reputation and their background wasn't too great. But when they made the commitment, they stepped in line. You and I, as we go down through this pathway of life, we don't have any promises. We don't have any guarantees, except what God has given us in His Word. And it doesn't always come as we would like for it to come. You know, we can look at some things. We can look at our trials and tests, and people do that. I'm talking about saved people. And we have it all figured out how it can be worked out to the glory of God. Lord, if you do this here, and you work that there, and you open this door over here, and do the other, they'll see this, and they'll praise you. And a lot of times, He doesn't open any of those doors, doesn't do any of those things, and it looks like you and I go down in flames. And we wonder, how did God get any glory out of that? Well, Lord, you could have done this. You could have done the other. You let me go down in flames. Well, we stay with him because of what we see out there. To us, it will look like we went down in flames. To others, it will look like we went down in flames. But to those that want to get a hold of God, they'll be able to see something beyond that. And they begin to recognize there's something there that keeps a person, despite how bad things get to be along life's way. There's something that keeps them that when everything goes in reverse, they still go forward. There's something that causes them to hold on, and when things are hurting the worst, they look at the face of the Savior with eyes of love instead of wondering, why did you do this to me?
Amen.
You and I, if we see that as we go along the way, we can do that, which will be of help to some others. Maybe they won't let you know. Sometimes the Lord will allow them to do so, that you and I might be encouraged. And you never know who's watching. You never know how big or how little the thing might be. My brother told me something here a few days ago that I had long forgotten about. Something that happened over 20 years ago. And he had to make me remember. A little thing that didn't really amount to anything. And he said, that showed me something. And I never knew he'd even taken note. I never even saw it as being anything to take note of. I never realized he got that from it. I wouldn't have never realized that anybody could have gotten what he got from it. But you know, people are looking. And they're observing. And they make a determination that that person is great in my eyes because of what I've seen them do. And I can see that they have their eyes set on something else besides what's around here. You and I need to pursue this thing and let others see what they will see. And let them determine where we stand as we go along the way. In Philippians, the second chapter, we find this about our own Savior. Starting with the fifth verse. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let this mind be in you. This same Christ who was there in the beginning when he said, let us make man, now has condescended and taken on the likeness of you and I in flesh. Here we consider that he said he made himself of no reputation. In other words, to me, he thought it not something to strive to hold on to. You see, when we get along in life's way and we feel like we've accomplished something and we've gained some stature or some place in life, it can be out in the world and it can be in amongst the church. And if something comes along or things develop to where it looks like we're going to lose that position, what do? We strive in every kind of way we can to hold on to it. Now here, this same Christ, there in the beginning when he said, let us make man, did not see it as something to strive to hold on to. I've got to keep my place, Lord. I'm not going down there. I made him. No. He left all of that in glory. He didn't see it as, I got to strive to hold on to my place. Lord, you're talking to the Son. You want me to go down there? Why can't we just make something? Or better yet, let's just wipe it all out and start over. No, he didn't do that. But you see, that's where we go a lot of times. I'm going to lose my place. And I've considered that and have come to decide that I need to strive to be in a place where I don't have to get up and I can sit down. And my wife, I guess you can take that too far the other way, so she has to get on me and remind me, you better do what the Spirit says to do. And so I have to struggle to balance that out. But I've seen some other things that tell me I don't want to get in that place where you just strive to hold on. Here, as we look upon this, he didn't do that. And so the result was, back in that 12th chapter of Hebrews again, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Because of what the Savior saw, he realized what he was going to go through. But he went through it. And it says here that he did so, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. The joy that was set before him. When I look upon that, I consider that without doubt he had joy because he knew that once he did what the Father had set forth, it would bring about a plan of salvation where you and I could get back to the Father and live with him in one accord. And in that sense, you might say it was a personal joy. But somehow when I look upon this, I consider that it wasn't his joy that he was looking at so much as it was our joy that if he fulfilled the vision out there of what he saw that was in store for you and I, then we would have joy in the fact that we can now commune with the Father as Adam and Eve once did, be able to go before him with everything that we have upon our heart, mind, and soul, lay it at his feet, and the Almighty Father, ye still yet, give attention unto us as we go along the way. And so when I look at that sometimes, I think that it was our joy that he saw set before him that caused him to go forth and do what he did, that you and I might be able to experience this great salvation. And when we consider that, we should have that same mind, that it is not altogether for me here yet today, but that it is for those who come after as we go along this pathway of life. And as you consider it, you might even stop to think that when a parent does all they can for their children, where do they get the joy? They get the joy when they can see that that child has grown and blossomed and matured and took the things that they imparted and began to use them wisely so that when they took off as an eaglet and they watched them soar, now they have joy. When they see them take those things and despise them, it brings grief and sorrow. And you and I, as we go along this pathway of life, so much so is it in our spiritual walk. The joy is not going to come when we're doing for ourselves. It's when we do for others. I think, too, how the doctors, talking with people who deal with depression, and I heard one make a statement. Said, if you really want to deal with this, get out and go do something for somebody else without expecting something in return. Well, he said, he told them, we can give you medicine, we can medicate you, we can do all of these kind of things. But you can handle this yourself if you just go out and do something for somebody else. Now, consider where this person was. They're in a place where they were looking for everybody else to do for them to make them happy. And they weren't being happy. They were finding themselves battling depression. And he, as he examined them, finally told them, the source of this problem and the answer to it lies within you. Get out and go do. Well, in order for us to do, we need to see beyond what's right here and now. We need to see beyond what it's going to take at this point in time. And when we're able to see out there, we'll then be able to commit to that which we see. And as we press on towards that point, we'll find ourselves doing as we go along the way in ways that will help others as we go through life. And in doing so, we then ourselves will find happiness, joy, and a lot of other things, love, and so forth, as we go along the way. And then when it comes all down to the end, somebody will look back and say, that was a great person. And they might say, I didn't do anything great. I just did what I saw I needed to do. See, that's how it's obtained. I don't think those people back then, when they signed that declaration, thought that they were going to be established in history and this world's going to develop in such a way that people are going to build monuments to them and so on. They had no way of knowing. For all that they knew was that when we make this declaration and they come to declare war upon us, we might all get wiped out. But they went forward anyway. And you and I must do the same. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, starting with the 32nd verse. And what more shall I say? Or what shall I say? What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Said all of these people went through all of these things, and after suffering all of that, says they received not the promise.
Amen.
Now, had their vision been like some of ours today, where would we be? Had their vision been like some of ours today, what would have been accomplished? You know, in other places, it said the angels desired to look into these things that you and I get to experience today. The prophets desired to look into them, and the angels told them, shut it up. This ain't for you. This is for somebody else. Didn't keep them from prophesying, did it? Didn't keep them from living the way they live, did it not? It didn't keep some from giving their lives for it, did it not? And as you look upon that, they did it for you and me. And so God here shows that all of this they went through and did not receive the promise of salvation, the gospel that you and I have today. Said that he had provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. When this is all said and done, when it's all completed, when it's all played out, you and I will have been a part of it. And as we go along this pathway of life, let us remember that there's one other thing that we can see in these people who have been called great men. And that is, they were faithful. They didn't receive it, but they were faithful. They kept going anyway. And as you and I come upon this point in life, let us be faithful. Let us have those same characteristics. Let us have some vision. Let us have some realization. Everything is not going to go just right. We're going to meet some things. We're going to suffer some things, and we're going to wonder why we have to suffer when brother so-and-so over there or sister so-and-so over there seems to just be going right along. Lord, when they have trials, seem like the saints pray, and they pray, and it just works out so smooth. Seem like the more the saints pray for me, the worse it gets. But be faithful. You know, there's a lot that enters into that. Because sometimes the reason it gets worse is that that's the only way for us is going to get better. For Him to teach us and bring us to the place where we can really be one of those jewels in His hands. When we look at all of this, we find that they were faithful to the end. And so we say as well, as the songwriter said, come and join the reapers. All the kingdom seekers laying down their lives to find them in the end. Come and join the harvest. Help to light the darkness. For the Lord is calling faithful men. Pray for me.